I could not pay. One holy Lamb, one great I am, one seed of Abraham. One holy Lamb, wash my sin away. Atonement Day, the Father cries, the spotless Son of God must die. One final death for every man, one blood, one life, one holy Lamb, one holy Lamb, wash my sin.
Song and a tremendous job. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning and you want to turn with me to the book of Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter 1. We're all familiar with the story of the tortoise and the hare, the race, and how that they started off, and the rabbit got so far ahead, he said, well, I'll just take me a nap, and he went to sleep and slept too long, and the turtle just creeped right on by and won the race. And we all know that, and that's kind of like the story of Jonah and the whale. It's a story we all know. It's a very familiar passage, and in fact, this morning, and we was coming to church, and I was sitting in the back with the two girls, and I said, I'm going to preach on Jonah and the whale this morning, and Rachel said, why? Everybody knows that. it's good to have something by the way of remembrance in it, and stir up our minds, and Brother Ray, could you turn the projector on just a second? And if you would stand with me, and we'll read I want to read the whole chapter probably to do it justice. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, for what is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? He said unto him, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was very tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us his innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for this passage. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here today. And God, I know that you don't make mistakes, and we're not here by accident. And Father, that we're here by providence. And God, we pray that you'll use this message and you challenge us today and encourage us. And God, you've already dealt with me over it. And Lord, I pray that you be with us, God, and you'll accomplish your will today. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have this map, and got a couple of slides of it to show you this morning, that God had moved and spoke to Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God. He was not someone that did know the Lord. He was a prophet of the Lord. And I titled the message this morning. Most time I have the message before I ever get the title, but I had the title the first thing. The Lord laid it on my heart early in the week. It's a rough trip between Joppa and Tarshish. It's a rough trip when you head that way. And this morning, if you look and you see that it's a whole lot closer to Nineveh than it was Tarshish. 2,500 miles from Joppa to Tarshish. It's about 60 miles from Jerusalem down to Joppa, and it's about 600 miles from Jerusalem to Nineveh. So he was going to go four times as far to get away from the Lord. Boy, it don't make a lot of sense, does it? He jumped on a boat. For me, he could have went on the land to Nineveh. That would have been better than getting on a boat to start with, wouldn't it? What am I doing wrong? There we go. Now, this was his path. He left Joppa heading toward Tarshish. Then the storm hit, and the whale went
up and spewed him out on the ground. This is what his trip looked like. He had envisioned good, smooth sailing all the way to Tarshish. Have a good day. But then God sent a storm and a whale to change his path. Brother Ray, you can turn that off if you would like. But I want to look this morning, and we're going to look at it's a rough trip when you travel from Joppa to Tarshish. There's a lot of distractions in the trip. There's a lot of things that will show its ugly head. It's not a pleasant road. It's not a pleasant place to be. It really, this time of studying this has jumped out at me more of the effect that it had on the mariners in this time when Jonah come out. They were heathen. They were praying to all their gods, but when they found out he was a servant of the God, they started praying to him. And even this is not part of the message, but even to him out of God's will, God still accomplished his goal in the life of the prophet. Him disobedient in a backslidden condition, God still brought them mariners. They called upon the Lord. You know, and lots of times that we'll get out of a way, out of God's way, but he can still use our failures if he chooses to. I'd rather him use my accomplishments, though, wouldn't you? I don't want to be an example of failure. I'd like to be an example of succeeding and doing what God would have me to do. First thing I want to look at is the resignation of Jonah. The Bible said here in verse 1 that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. That this was not out of the ordinary. That Jonah was a man of God, and God had used him evidently a lot. And this time the word of the Lord came to him again, and he said, "Now go to Nineveh and preach the gospel." And buddy, I tell you that he tried to get away from the presence of the Lord, but he just couldn't do it, could he? Jonah, the word means does, and amateia was a truth. A truth telling. So it was proper for a prophet to be this name. But he said, go to Nineveh. Was that a hard command? Was there anything complicated about what God had asked him to do? It was a simple command. Go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. You're a prophet. It's your job to declare the word of God. Go to Nineveh. Wow. What if he woke me? I'd be like it getting up this morning. Go to Marlton and preach the gospel. I'm going to Pigeon Forge, Lord, instead of Marlton. Amen. He said, I'm taking a vacation. I'm out of here. He resigned. See, we have commands that the Word of God has given us. In John 3:3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is as simple as the command to go to Nineveh. If you've never been saved, you will not go to heaven without asking Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you your sins and be born again. You'll never see the kingdom of God without salvation through Jesus Christ. That's simple, isn't it? Another simple command. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. An easy commandment. We'll follow God's word. We'll allow him to minister to us through the word of God. And another one in Acts 1:8, the Bible said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me. That's not up for debate. These are some simple commands that is as simple as go to Nineveh. Amen? He didn't have to spend a month and prepare a revival message like I would have to. He had the message. God had already prepared him. He had to work, go to Nineveh and say, you either repent or God's going to destroy you. Simple message. And we're going to look at some things here in a little bit, but we look at us today. See, following God's instructions is not optional. I didn't get many amens right there. It's not optional. When God says it in the Word of God, He means it. He didn't just put it there to give us some poetry to read. It's His Word. It's His commands. It's what He declares, saith the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that His Word's forever settled in heaven. It's not optional. It's not up for debate. Now people wants to debate you and people wants to say, well, it don't really say, and the devil will say, well, did God really say that like He did to Eve? See, His commands are not optional. Instead of going to the Nineveh, He went the complete opposite way. He would try, the Bible says here, that he tried to flee the presence of the Lord. He was trying to get away. He had resigned his prophetic office. When God said, go do it, he said, no. That's my resignation slip. I'm over this. How many folks has called upon the name of the Lord and trusted Him to be the salvation of their souls and that's come in life, and then when things got a little tough, they said, amen? Or when things got so good. Probably more often it's when things got good and everybody got lazy and happy and satisfied. And we started easing right away from the Lord. See, he forgot about Psalm 139 and verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. We can run, but you sure can't hide. We can try to get away from the Lord. We can try to get drown it in alcohol. We can try to get rid of it in drugs. We can try it with every kind of extramarital affair. We can try it with fornication. We can try it with money. We can try it with the things of the world. We can go a lot of things, but I'm telling you, it's still going to be there. You're not going to get away from the presence of the Lord. Everywhere you look and everywhere you go, there He is. He made the universe, so He's in it. He couldn't get away from the Lord, but he could resign his calling in these prophecies that God is using him to. The prodigal was, I was studying this, and the prodigal son came to my mind. And it's the same way with the prodigal in Luke 15 and verse 13. The son gathered up all of his longings and left the presence of the father. He said, Dad, I no longer want to be in your house. I no longer want to be under your rule. I no longer want to be under your jurisdiction. In other words, the way he said this, he said, I really wish you was dead. When he said, give me the lot, give me what part is going to fall upon me, he's saying, I wish you'd go ahead and die so I could have what was coming to me. His dad said, here it is. And he left the presence of the Father. Jonah was running from the presence of God. So often people run from God, try to get away, and try to use everything in the world to fulfill that longing of God in their lives. There is, I heard years ago, there's a God-shaped void in everybody's life. And until we put Jesus Christ in that void, we're never going to be happy. There's not ever will come a joy and a peace that passes all understanding until we have a right relationship with Jesus Christ in our lives. There's your introduction. Now the 12 points. No, there's not 12. Want to look at the causes. The causes of his backsliding was many. See, he had the wrong attitude about God's will. And I'm afraid so often in our lives and in Christians especially, we have the wrong attitude about God's will. We think we can get in and we can get out. We can get in His will and we can accomplish until we want a break. Till we want to jump on a ship and go to Tarsus for a little while. He might have said, well, I'll be back. I'll come back. I'll be out there for a month or two and I'll make my way around and I'll come back and I'll come and complete the will that you have for me, God. I'll complete the message. I'll deliver what it is that you want me to take to them. And I'm afraid that as Christians that God says do this and we say, well, I will. But let me bury my dead first. Let me marry my wife first. Let me work my oxen first, as the Bible talks about. And you know the story, we've talked about it not too long ago. And we want to establish our career. We want to establish our family and get our children at a certain age. We want to do this and we want to do that. And we got all of this that we need to do before we make a commitment. This is where Jonah was. He said, Lord, I like doing your work, but you've asked me something a little too hard this time. I want to be in your will, but it's not fun anymore. I'm not making the money that I was. See, he thought was difficult and dangerous. This was his Israel's enemy. This was Assyria. You read through the Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, you see that word Assyria quite often. These mean people. They were bad news. Now, and he had a legitimate concern. That we think a lot of times and we think, oh, if I say and yield my life to the will of God, I'll wind up in Africa. Why is it always Africa? We'll wind up in Africa. We'll be somewhere in the tribe. We'll have to eat worms and bugs and... I want to take just a second and tell you, you will never, ever find a happier and safer place than in God's will. It's the happiest in my life, the most peace and joy that I've had since I answered the call to preach. I've always sought God's will. I've always tried to do what He wanted from the day I nailed it down. But buddy, when I nailed it down preaching, I've had the peace that passes all understanding. And we want to talk about safety. And I know most of you have heard me say this time and time again. Daniel was in the safest place in the world in God's will when he was in that lion's den. You might say, who in the world could have got to him? The lions was jaws locked because of Daniel, not because of everybody else. They ain't a soul could have got to him. That's the safest place he could ever be in. The Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. What could reach him? He's in the safest place in the world. When you're in God's will, Nothing will happen to you unless he allows it. Wow. He was worried about, I'm sure, about the dangers. He thought it was difficult. Thank you, brother. He thought it was difficult witnessing. And I want to tell you this morning that whether we want to or whether we don't, we're a witness for God. We're either a witness for Him or a witness against Him. Whichever way that we act, whatever we do in our lives, and we are definitely a witness. A city that's built on the hill cannot be hid, Jesus Christ said. See, he had the wrong attitude toward his enemies. Well, I'm telling you what, I could just let down the plow and be right here for a while. He hated Nineveh. They was the enemies. They was impaling, crucifying, they killed, they was cruel, mean, just horrible. He said, God, when God said they're going to judge him, he said, woo! How often, if our enemies, the judgment's coming, we'll say, thank God they deserved it. I believe this was the biggest problem that he had to conquer was he wanted them judged. He wanted them done away with. He didn't want Israel to have to fight them. He wanted the problem wiped off of the map. And in our lives today, and it's so hard, and I know that we watch the news and we see things around the world. And I'll tell you, when back with North Korea here not too long ago, I'll share my prayer with you. I said, God, if you can do it any way other than war, please do it. If you can bring us together, if you can work in this, I ask you to do it some other way. Our enemies, so often, we're ready to crucify them and get rid of them. God commands us to love them. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Pray for the ones that despitefully use you. Lift these up. Pray for them. Try to win them to the Lord. See, he didn't want them to live. He wanted judgment to come upon them. The second thing that I see was the course of his backsliding was a downward spiral. If you can look, and I underlined it in red, in orange in my Bible. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down into the sea. He went down into the fish. Lot went down into Sodom on her downward spiral. The prodigal son went down into the pig pen. He said there when he prayed and come to his senses, he said, I will arise and go to my father. He had got as low as a Jewish boy he could have got. He got as far away from God that he could have got. He goes far away from his family. The stench of hogs was despicable in the eyes of the Jews. And he found himself in the hog lot, in the pig pens of the world. So often, Christian young men and women has found themselves in the pig pens of the world. I was one of them. I grew up in church. I called upon the Lord at a young age. I asked God to move in my life at a young age. And in a few years, I got right into the stench and the pig pens and the mire of the world. You might say, preacher, we're in church. We love coming to church. We love being involved in the things of the Lord. Well, that's all well and good. But I tell you, you could be just an easy way of going down that downward spiral. Amen. Just a short distance. I don't know why the Lord laid this message on my heart. This was one of them He laid on hot and heavy. See, disobedience always leads downward. When we disobey God, we disobey His Word, we disobey His will. It's dangerous to know what God's wanting you to do and doing just the opposite. That's a dangerous place to be. The boat could go down at any minute. See, the ship was waiting on him. He had plenty of money. He had the money to buy the fire. How often we can justify our disobedience? And that's what he was just, he was justified in himself. He thought it was okay. He said, well, I plan on doing God's will. It's His timetable, not ours. He says when. What if when He called me to come to Marbleton, Pastor? I said, well, I'll go. A couple years. You know, I done had another pastor, but then I'd have been out way out yonder somewhere. No telling where. Africa, maybe. See, it's His timetable. When God says go, we go. Abraham, He called him out of the land of the Chaldees, and he said go. And he said, he didn't say where am I going. He went. Amen. And God directed him. That's a father of faith. That's who God wants us to be. When He says go, we are to go. Amen. See, he was so comfortable. This is what is this. Blows my mind. He was so comfortable of being running from God and being disobedient and in a backslidden condition, he slept in the middle of the storm. When everybody else seen what was going on, he didn't. The prophet of God. Woo! Was asleep to the danger he was in. Oblivious to it. Samson was lulled asleep. The most powerful man probably ever lived. How about us? Do we justify our actions? When the prodigal went down in and started partying up with all of his buddies, boy, he was having a life of ease. We think and we can justify, and some people will say, and there'll be some preachers that'll get up and say, if you got a bank full of money and you're well blessed and you got a nice home and you got a big car and you got fine clothes, well, you got to be in God's will then. If you're hearing that kind of preaching, have mercy. Amen. That's not out of the Bible I read. I'm not trying to run anybody else down, but I tell you, the Bible has a total different way on that. It didn't work too good for the disciples. It didn't even work too good for the Son of God. Foxes have holes, birds have nests. I don't even have a place to lay my head. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, is what the Bible says. It's health, wealth, and prosperity. It's a bunch of nonsense that somebody has dreamed up and is trying to force feed the Christian people across the world today. And some of them that says, well, there's many ways to God. Hogwash! There's one way, and it's Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of my soul. And if I tell you anything other than that, I'll stand before God and give an account for it. The third thing, the consequences of his backsliding were tragic. First thing we see, he lost God's voice. Folks, when we lose God's voice, we're heading in a bad place. When we lose Him speaking to us through His Word. When we lose praying and taking that minute to listen to the still small voice of God to move in and challenge us and correct us and lead us to where we need to be. He'd lost God's voice. The prodigal, when he left the father, had lost the father's influence, had lost his voice of helping him and guiding him. God had to speak to Jonah through a storm. And I've said this many times, and I'm convinced of it. We do God a big injustice when we get so far in our own mind and our own power, and we get away from God, and He has to whip us or send a storm in our life to get our attention. I'm not saying every storm is because of disobedience, but it is one of the causes of it. That when we get far away, and when we can't, and He has no other choice but to send something that'll get our attention. Man, this must have been a storm that boat was in. The Bible is about to be broken up. All the mariners, they were guys been on that boat for a long time. They'd done throwed the cargo overboard. They done got rid of everything that was weighting them down. And they seen that there was no way out. And then here they found this guy laying asleep. And I could see the captain say, "What in the world is wrong with you? If you've got a God, get up and call to Him. We got to have some help. This is, as we would say today, biblical proportions. This is amazing. This is unreal. We're going to die. Don't you care?" He said, "Well, it's my fault. I'm running from God." And those mariners, I'm sure they said, "This is some kind of God. If he reacts like this because his son's left him. Woo! This is some kind of God you're serving. Why are you not calling on him in? If you've got that kind of relationship with him, if he means that much and you mean that much to him, why ain't you talking to him? Why ain't you down on your face? Why ain't you getting a hold of him?" I could ask us that today. Why ain't we got the horns of the altar? Why ain't we crying out to God? We ought to have tear stains around this altar where we're praying to God to save our families. Amen. We ought to be laying up here time after time. "Hey, preacher, would you send somebody over and open the church? I just want to go pray for my family a little while." That's how we'll get it done. See, he had lost his spiritual energy. He went to sleep. He was lethargic to the things of God. In Isaiah 52:1, the Bible says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall be no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." Some believe that this passage, Isaiah 52, here in this verse especially, is a prophecy, is prophetic of the church. He said, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength. Put on the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. Wake up!" is what the Word of God's saying. The Bible in Ephesians 6 says, "Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might." Put on the whole armor. Put on His power and stand in His power, in His authority, in His strength. Because I'm telling you, when we stand by ourselves, we'll get run over like a Mack truck. Old Zion. And put on beautiful garments. Be righteous in the way that you live. Be righteous in what you talk. Be righteous in every part of your life. The next thing, he had lost his power in prayer. When we get out of fellowship in our prayer life, we lose that power and authority that we have through the person of the Holy Spirit. We lose the effectiveness of our prayers. If we are at an arm's reach distance away from God, He's not going to answer the minute we ask. We live in disobedience, we live in disobedience, we live in disobedience. Oh Lord, I'm in trouble, help me. It's good to live to where it don't take 30 minutes to get things patched up when you need a prayer answered. We may be in a crisis of a life and it may be life dependent, and we have to get down and ask God to forgive us, ask God to cleanse us, ask God to help us and make up where what it says in Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's in the Old Testament. I think it's just as relevant in the New Testament. If we're out of His will, if we're in a backslidden condition, we're running from God, we're running from the presence of God, we're running from what He's called us to do, we're running from the church. We don't want to be in the services, we don't want to be under preaching, we don't want to be under godly teaching, we want to be out doing our own thing, having our own time, and enjoying it. And I tell you what, we are right then, our prayer life will not go through like it once did. And again, these heathen mariners was praying and the prophet of God was asleep. See, I don't have time to get into it. I ain't so sure these old boys didn't get saved. They offered sacrifices to the Lord. God done a great work on that ship that day. The minute they chucked him in the water and the water ceased, they said, "Ooh, this is God. Them gods we talked to never couldn't do nothing. But this God took care and the storm's gone when we got rid of the problem. Oh, Lord, we're going to serve you." And prophet didn't have a clue. That kind of sounds like a church lots of times. We've lost sight of what God does and can do and will do. Oh, but the weather's awful nice over in Tarshish. Yeah, but it's a rough trip getting there. It lost his testimony. The men in the ship didn't have a bit of confidence in him. He'd lost his testimony. He'd lost his influence for good. They saw this was his problem. Reason the way he's going through what they's going through because he was in the backslidden condition. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord showed me a long time ago in this passage right here. The Bible said God had prepared a great fish. God meant for Jonah to go to Nineveh. He was going. One way or the other, he's going. He had prepared that fish. What do you think would have happened if they had not thrown him overboard? The whole boat would have went down and all those mariners would have went to hell. Because of one man's disobedience. It's some heavy stuff, ain't it? I tell you, our obedience is how important that it is to your family. How many families go down because the daddy has lost his sight of God will not do God's will. And the whole family's had supper for it. How many has the mama? Must have been the same way. I'm just not going to pick on the men. I'm going to pick on all of us. How often do we allow disobedience to mess the people up around us? All those guys would have went down if they hadn't thrown him overboard, because the fish was sitting there waiting on him. God said, I have got you a meal. He's in that boat right there, and he'll be out in a little bit. That'd be about like telling me he had a rack of ribs waiting right there on me. He wasn't going nowhere. And he almost lost his life and everything. First time ever in studying the passage, I thought, what about his family at home? They didn't have a clue what was going on. They may have been worried about him. He may have jumped on a boat and never told nobody. Then I want to look at chapter 2, verse 1, and I'm just about finished. I love the long-suffering of God. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. I may preach this chapter. This is the chapter of repentance. He said, oh God, I see where I've messed up. I see where I've gone wrong. I see the problems and the places I took the wrong turns. God, will you forgive me and give me another change? Will you help me? This is where he's at here in chapter 2. He's in the fish's belly. And I'm going to ask you this morning, don't wait till you get there to go crying out to the Lord. Do it beforehand. See, I don't have a clue, but I'm telling you, messages lots of times, there's one or more people that this message is hit for this morning. No doubt in my mind. If God's dealing with you this morning, I'm encouraging and beg you, don't get up and just walk out. God sent this message special for you today. He said, repent before it's too late. Turn! Awake! See, Jonah prayed. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the prayer of believers. Luke 15:20-21. Back to the prodigal and said, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, he saw his father and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight, and no worthy to be called thy son. You know, I like that. I didn't print it out, but when he ran to the father of the prodigal, he said, I'll just come back and work for you as a servant. I don't even think his daddy heard it. He was a hugging him and he was a kissing on him, and he said, my boy, it was dead, now he's alive. You ain't going to be no servant. We're going to put shoes on your feet. We're going to put the robe on you. We're going to put the ring on you, the identification of the Father, and you're my boy, and you're not going to live as a servant. You're going to live as my son, and we're getting ready to have a party to celebrate it. The Bible says the angels rejoice in heaven over one that comes to repentance. Heaven has a party and turns it on when somebody comes and says, God, forgive me and come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of what I've done wrong. And last thing, when Jesus and the woman was caught in a very act of adultery and they drug her in, was getting ready to stone her, he wrote in the sand, we know the story, And from the eldest to the youngest walked off. Jesus looked back up and he said, "Woman, where's thou thine accusers?" She said, "There art none, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more." God says to repent and forsake her sins. Not repent today and tomorrow and next week and week after and as we did last month and repeat for the same sin. Repent and forsake it. Get rid of it. There used to be a man in a church that I heard at every meeting that they'd have him to pray. He'd say, "Lord, clean out the cobwebs in my heart." There's one guy, and the preacher had asked two of them to pray. I asked that guy to pray and then another guy to pray at the end of the service. And that guy said, "Lord, clean the cobwebs out of my heart." And the other guy finished that in prayer and he said, "Lord, won't you, while you're at it, just go ahead and kill the spider." And that's what so often we say, "God, clean the cobwebs out," but we've left the spider there. We leave him in to make up another cobweb. And the problem is, and what we need to do is get rid of the spider, get rid of the problem, get rid of the sin, get rid of whatever it is that's dragging and pulling us down, and forsake it and get away from it. If there's a snake in here, you think I'd paddle with mess with him? I'd call you trustees. I'd be up in the seat, "Gary!" We ought to fear sin and run from it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I'm so thankful, God, for your blessing. Lord, I'm so thankful for your forgiveness. Lord, not only do you make it possible for us, but you forgive us of our sins. Lord, I just have a feeling in my heart today that someone needs to call upon you. Maybe all of us.